Hello and welcome to Three Wide No Cover. We're coming out of Ballarat Cup Week. We're going into Pakenham Cup Week next week, gentlemen. But now in the middle, we've got a nice little meeting at the Valley and a Group 1 over in Perth. Julian Vallance, Simon Marshall, how are we feeling?
Feeling pretty good. 2 weeks till this wraps up. So
yes, second last show.
We've got through the year, COVID and all. So well done to all the team and everything like that. Mooney Valley, interesting meeting because we've got those two stakes races that we didn't have that obviously when that meeting got washed out. So I think this adds a little bit to this meeting. Otherwise, we're going to have restricted racing, and we've found through history and through last week, very recent history, that restricted racing can make it very difficult, makes it very competitive and hard to find a winner. So, look, those two stakes races, I think there'll be some nice horses to come out of that, but hopefully we can find one or two winners, but it's not easy. Summer's usually a good time to be betting, but this meeting in particular I found extremely tough.
I'm hearing value. That's all I'm hearing now. All I heard is we're going to find winners at prices. SD?
Yeah, looking forward to the Mackenzie and also the Carline, those two stakes races. Really interested in Julesy's percentage on favourites at Mooney Valley over the last couple of months because he was bang on at Sportsbet Ballarat Park last week. If you tuned in, 22% over the last decade, in the bin. And guess what? That's declined, that percentage. That's what you get with Julian Vallance. That's why we love him. Mick, the Valley. It's going to be a dry surface, dry deck. They're going to run hard and they're going to run fast, but I reckon we found some winners.
Well, sure, they can't run as fast. We were talking but when we were off air about the night where Haydock, Alforo, all these horses broke records. Sartorial Splendor.
Written Beauty.
Second fastest time ever in the 55-second challenge. Still not the fastest of the year, which was unfortunate, but there was a second and then three records in the quaddy legs. Is that the sort of pace we're talking about, Julesy? I mean, take us through the track report.
Yeah, track report's going to be interesting here. So obviously we go back to Mooney Valley. We go back to True Position entire circuit. So I think the last time they raced there, they were out seven. So good four to begin with. Worth noting, 50 to 20 kilometre saddle, which is not huge, but it is a headwind into the straight. So again, that'll probably just temper off a couple of the times, especially coming into the straight for those 1,000-metre, 1,200-metre races. I don't think they'll bust the clock up. It's going to be interesting to see what Marty does with the track in terms of how much irrigation, because he's got no real rain expected over the next Thursday night, Friday into Saturday. So he's going to have to put a bit of irrigation on. I think we'll get the upgrade to the good three, but I don't reckon it'll be as fast as what you were talking about that night, Wally. And here's the percentage. Now, I think every time we look at Mooney Valley and we go back to the True, I think there's a perception that it pretty well plays as even as it can play. I think there's probably another rail position that probably plays a little bit even. I reckon 2 metres, Mooney Valley 3 metres is pretty ideal. But you can see midfield, off midfield and back markers are higher than the Australian average. So positive signs for that. But you look at the ROI and then that tempers your thoughts a little bit because it is in the negative. And the only positive is the ROI with leaders. Now, we know the Australian average is 21%. Here at Mooney Valley, it's 22%. I think a lot of punters out there would think, well, back to the True, leaders are a little bit more of a disadvantage. Well, compared to the Australian average, they're not. They're still in a pretty well high space. The ROI is as high as it is because we know the leaders always have a high ROI at every track in Australia. And also, I think with the rail back being to the True position, I think the market does tend to probably gravitate towards middle and worse than midfield. So leaders sometimes can go around at a little bit of inflated prices, hence why you get the ROI, the percentage that it is. I'm expecting the track to be pretty fair, but I do think if this track continues to dry out, then horses forward of midfield are always going to be advantaged because they're going to be running quick times and it's going to be hard for horses that are worse than midfield to come home 10-3, 10-4. It's just mathematically impossible. So hopefully fair, but if this track continues to dry out, forward of midfield might be a spot.
It won't be like it was that night at Mooney Valley because that was unprecedented. We were expecting, you know, Armageddon to hit and pour down and rain. So he couldn't really hammer it with some water in the irrigation, which we're talking about, it to set it up for a good four. Unfortunately, it probably started as a good three and it tightened into a good two that night. But he doesn't have that pressure this time rolling in to this meeting, and the weather's been quite consistent all
week. That's right. The forecast was torrential rain. Didn't hit.
It'll be prepared for the good four.
Yeah, and SD's right. It came as it raced as a fast two, no doubt whatsoever. Yeah. I will say also out there, as a punter, I love tracks as a fast two. And I know there's issues that the trainers want their horses with a little bit of give the ground. 100%. And that's fine. And I appreciate that absolutely. But as a punter, if I know it's a hard, fast deck, or I know my horses are going to run pretty straight, And usually, a lot of favourites win. And if you want to play in that pointy end, it's great.
This is a conversation I was having with Kevi Corsons and Jason Williams and the boys at boxing training last night, is that the pressure that track curators have to prepare a good four, let's say. Those boys were just suggesting that what they'd wanted to be prepared as a soft five, and then firming to a good four the way these tracks are drained now and prepared, in particular Caulfield and Flemington. But in saying that, I said, well, what about, you know, the good old days? It didn't matter. But I would bear my in Bourke Street if there's not higher turnover on firmer decks than there is with the rating going out to softer tracks. There's more scratchings when from five to a set to a six to a seven. To a heavy to a heavy 7 and 8 than there is when the deck is firming, say from a good 4 to a good 3. There's less scratchings, and I would mention to you, Julesy, that our turnover is in the positive or higher than on a dry deck than it is on a track that's downgraded.
It's a great point. I've played in the space for 8 years, and you're right. Our turnover is up because punters have the confidence that that is the deck. Now, if you start on a soft 5 and you want to get to a good 4. Well, we're hoping you're going to get to a good 4. We don't know until we look at the standard times. We go, actually, it's actually more a soft 6.
Yeah.
It creates doubt for the punters out there, as the people that were out there and playing the game, that then all of a sudden my turnover is probably going to drop off a little bit. If I know it's going to be a good 4 and it's closer to a good 3, I'm going to bet, and I'm going to bet with confidence. If my horse is not good enough, then so be it.
Chips in.
But I'm going to have the confidence in the track. In saying that, the track managers do an outstanding job every week.
Very, very good information there, guys. Let's have a look at a Jockey on Fire, a Training Partnership on Fire, Declan Bates. And this is a good sample size too, Julesy.
Yeah, 9 from his last 45, going at 20%. So probably in the last 2 or 3 weeks, Declan Bates has really hit his straps. I think he's riding really well. Worth noting as well, he rode the first winner at Bendigo, so that improves a little bit as well. So he's a jockey that doesn't get a lot of opportunities through the time, but he's making most of the opportunities at the moment, especially in the last 2 or 3 weeks, SD. We can get his rides up, and I think he's actually got a pretty strong book for Saturday for him.
Yeah, the two-year-old Supreme. Oh, actually, it's the race three on the program. It's the 1600 metre race. It's a really open race there. Race one, that two-year-old number three, Supreme Thunder, has been specced into $4.50. And then he's got plenty of value outside that. Paul's Rigetti's half a chance in that Berade. Of course, he won on that horse last start at Flemington. And then More Wanted again's a bit of a price. Probably Berade and also the two-year-old are his better too, so says the market as well.
Now, a Training Partnership that's not the same sample size, but, well, they are flying. Troy and Leon Corston's, Julesy, 36%.
Yeah, 5 from the last 14, which equals that 36%. So this is a camp that once they strike form, you want to be with them for the 2 or the 3 weeks. And at the moment, they're in red-hot form. They've got horses going really well that are winning, and they've even got their horses that are not winning that are still running well. So I think that's stable. I want to be with for the next 2 or 3 weeks. They've just got it ticking over perfectly. They've got the four runners here, and you've got a bit of price there. I think all of them are in double figures. But from a market perspective, the market isn't going to take a set against these four horses, because what's next to the trainer name? They're going to probably firm up a little bit, I think, for this camp.
Yep, plenty of value there. I was talking to Leon Corsons at Sportsbet Ballarat Park on Saturday, and he takes up the Geelong setup. He was just happy to have a dozen horses at 12, but he's such a hands-on, and they love Leo and his experience. He's got 36 in the stable there. Then you've got Troy at Flemington. So they've got the balance of both. And then they've just purchased the farm at Benalla with the undulating decks and where they can go and freshen horses up, put them on the grass and give them that 2 or 3 easy days, and then take them away from a running rail and a racetrack environment. So they've got that perfect mix between those three stables and setups, and they're just reaping the rewards.
Tell you what, at those prices, you can have a little on each one. You're going to triple your bank at a minimum if, of course, they get one up. We'll take a break now, and when we come back, we're going to look at Group 1 action from Perth and then all the action from Moonee Valley. Welcome back to Three Wide No Cover. Before we get to the valley, let's head west and look at the Group 1 Winter Bottom over in Perth. Trekking is your $2.20 favourite. No surprises there. Indian Pacific at $8. Celebrity Queen, $8.50. Stageman, $12. Valor Road, $14. Elite Street, $16. Vital Silver, $18. Rock Magic, $19. Red Can Man at $23. Flirtini, best the rest, $26. Julesy.
good race, but probably devoid of a little bit of class with just the way COVID worked, and a few of these Eastern State horses couldn't make the trip over. But Trekking, well done Godolphin, to sort of read the play a little bit earlier than most and get Trekking over probably a month ago. So he's going to be there. Now, looking at the map, Condor Heroes goes first. I think Laver Rod can roll forward on the quick backup. Its best chance is obviously to roll forward. Valor Road can sit in the first four. Indian Pacific, I think, is the speed map horse out of the race. Can definitely sit in the first four. This is a pretty good horse, Indian Pacific. So it gets the map advantage over the favourite Trekking, who's going to be negative neutral and might have to go a fair way back and might be giving some of these a big head start. This race last year, Hey Doc was in front of Trekking by a long way and probably won the race in the fact that it seemed to be a bit of a on-pace bias that day, which sometimes can happen at Ascot on a really dry track. We know about that. Fast times, hard to run past. But there's no Hey Doc this year for Trekking to get past, and I think he's the best horse in the race by far. I will say I marked him $2.35. When I was going through the race, I thought I'd probably mark him in the red, and then when I looked out at my figures, $2.35, that's as short as I could get him. But he's clear top pick. I don't think I have another horse marked in single figures. Indian Pacific is the next horse I have at $10. So the gap is large. I think he'll be able to sit off them. He ran fourth in this race last year as a $2.90 favourite to Hey Doc. It's not as good a race. He was fifth up last year. He's fourth up this year. I just love the fact that he's been over there a little bit earlier. Mm. He had the trial win during the week. Mm. He's obviously set up really well. I think he's the winner.
Yeah, for sure. He's the class horse, multiple Group 1 winner in great form. And the fact that he's been able to acclimatise there, if you like, for the 1 month and get accustomed to the heat at Perth, and also that trial too. So he's nice and bright. He's ready to rip. And I like the run that he's going to get. There's good, genuine speed in this. There always is pressure over the six furlongs in this winter bottom. But he follows the like of Malibu Style, Red Cam Man. I know he's on the back up back to six from 1600, but he can let him out from a 2-3 pairs back type of position. And then he's got his eye on Valor Road, Indian Pacific out in front, Condor's Hero, and Laver Rod from out wide. So he gets that beautiful wall in front of him. He's just going to need that luck inside the 500 when they turn for home. There's that 50 meter point where horses fan a little bit around that Ascot track, and then they come in and squash back into the fence. So that's where he's going to need his momentum and his run nice and clear Trekking. Definitely the horse to beat, and I love that Pike goes aboard. He's not riding for Bob Peters. He's got a couple of runners in that race, so there's your lead. And he'll be the best back runner in the race, and he is with Sportsbet, even though versus the price he's got out to 220. Indian Pacific, this horse had the 9 starts for the 6 wins. It's elite. It's really good, this horse. Winkers go on the first time too, so set play for the big Group 1. And it's went over 1,200 to 13. It'll absorb this 6 furlong pressure. Liberty Queen, well, she's had the 7 starts for the 4 wins. She's a trip winner. She won the lead up at Group 3 level, but it was on a heavy 8 track, but she has won on the good 4 track as well. So that horse has got to be hard to beat. Stageman, if you're playing for the multiples, flew home on that heavy 8 track. And his win prior, run was fourth to Valor Road. So that's good enough form as well. And then you've got Elite Street down the bottom at a big price. Look, Trekking's the horse to beat, but I always like value in a race like the winner bottom in case Trekking gets into that bad luck, which he can do, which his race pattern offers. Valor Road's the horse for me. If he give his heavy 8 run, he's not a heavy 8 type of track, his latest run. His Group 3 win over the 1,000 metres prior was very good. You go back through his form. He's a horse that's beat Tefane and Guitra at Group 2 level over 6 furlongs at Morfettville. I like that trip away when he beat them last year in May. Mitch Pateman will take a ride. This horse will sit up on speed, maybe even box seat. And at that $15, I think, into 14, that's a horse that I want to probably play each way against the favourite Trekking.
There you go. So backing Trekking. Trekking on top, but happy to play each way.
Valor Road.
Perfect. There you go. All right, let's head to the Valley now. And we're going to have a look at race 5 on the card here. Deep Speed is your $3 favourite. Nicolini Vito at $3.30. Ocean Beyond $5. I Love the Game $7. Free to Move $9. Pioneer River 12. And Red Peroni, might have a few of them on the weekend. Julesy at 30-1. Small field, how's the map look?
It's a few for you. 30? 40?
Oh, come on, mate. Don't be like that.
The hand grenades.
Yeah. Everything in moderation and everything responsibly.
Very small field here, but I think they'll go pretty quick. Free to Move rolls forward. Deep Speed will go forward. Pioneer River, I Love the Game. They all want to roll forward as well. So I think there's going to be plenty of speed in this race over 1,200 metres. I just want to start with Deep Speed. It's the favourite at the moment. I couldn't get it anywhere near here. But here's Nicolino Vito win last start. This was off a performance where it won at Kilmore in scintillating time. Now, here this was a slowly run race. But they've come home last 400, 200, okay for the day. But I just loved its performance from the 400 to the 200. Just when we started that, its sprint from the 400 to the 200 I thought was electric. And then it sort of just found the front and wanted to move around a little bit, but still was good enough to win. The start prior to that, it was at Kilmore. It went 3/4 of a second inside standard time, so busted the clock, but still was the best last 400, 200 of the day, which is impressive. Then went to that race at Moonee Valley, which we just saw, slowly run race. And I reckon the Kent Motors just backed off it a little bit, knowing that this is the race they sort of wanted to target. So now I think it can go back to that first up performance and peak. It's a beautiful setup, beautiful platform to go into this race. And look, there's plenty of speed in. I think it'll just sit off them, get the right run at the right time, and I think it's got the best turn of foot to win the race. Just with Deep Speed, this is a horse that will go to the front. Obviously, there's a fair bit of pressure. Two starts ago went to the Valley, 1/2 a second inside standard time, and then last start went to 1,400 metres and got beaten by a really nice horse in Shelby Cobra, where they went 1 second inside standard time. Now, this is the platform of a horse, two really hard runs, and now got to go again to third, where we've got the difference with our horse, Nicolino Vito's, had that hard run, then the soft run, ready to explode again. I love that platform for this kind of race now, third up Nicolino Vito. So that's why I'm with this horse. I marked it clear-cut favourite ahead of Deep Speed. Ocean Beyond's going to be a really nice horse for the future too. It was a very impressive win on debut in a slowly run race, but the last 400, 200 was the best of the day. Might not happen just from gate eight, might have to go back, take their medicine, and might not be able to pick them up, but it's a nice horse for the future. But I was pretty keen on Nicolino Vito.
Yeah, I like the gallop and the win at Moonee Valley and the way he was able to ping off that bend and use his stride and attack the wire. To me, this horse has got a lot of upside. He's got a lot of ability, and it's a set play from the team. I looked at this field and I looked at it and went, right, listed race, Mackenzie, black tight race, who's set for it or who's just having a throw at the stumps coming out of a spring carnival. Free to move, not quite sure this horse is up to listed level, but got good Moonee Valley form, but needs to go to another level. Ali Boom, two wins at the 1,000-metre mark, good SP, 370. Three wide was beaten, six lengths prior, over 1,200 at $3.40. Can it run a strong 6 furlongs? Not quite sure. Pioneer River had a good confidence booster winning at the 1,400 metres last start after having no luck at Flemington in that Deep Speed race. So those two horses are coming back. Oh, it's a listed race. Let's have a roll at the stumps. To me, Nicolini Vito, he's the horse for me. He SP'd at 290, it was, winning that race where he got over the top of I Love the Game, and I think he's on the way up. I Love the Game was very good. This horse is drawn two. He's going to sit up on speed, and if you like that horse around that $7 mark, yeah, no problem. So it's between those two, the 5 and the 6, but I'm with Julesy here, Nicolini Vito, because he's got a massive stride and I love the way he can sit off the strong speed. But watch how the track is playing. If I Love the Game, if they're jumping and leading and controlling and they're just running and it's too hard to make ground, I Love the Game shortens up for mine.
There you go. Very, very quickly, Deep Speed, you're both taking it on. Will it ease Nicolino Vito start as favourite?
I've got it as I think Nicolino Vito will start favourite, okay. Yes.
Very good. All right, let's have a look at race 6 on the card. Another shorty over the 1,000 metres here. All Banter is your $4.60 favourites. Kalkani Royale at $5.50. Ladybrook, $6. Sophia's Choice at $7. Paul's Regret at $11. Chevalier Dion, I believe, Julesy, at $12 there. The Commoner at $13, as is Hecker Express. Maria Mia at $18. Over the page, our Gladiator Best, the rest at $26, Julian.
You are white hot. I've never seen this before. It's outrageous. They're going to go really fast here. Our Gladiator will go forward. Kalkani Royale, look, back to 1,000 metres, probably might try and take a sit, but obviously wants to sit in the first 4 or 5. All Banter goes forward. Sophia's Choice can probably be in the 1-1, get a great spot. Hecker Express rolls forward. Lady Brook from that wide gate goes forward. Plenty of speed in this race. Oh, there was horses from form lines everywhere. And the horse that I've tipped, I don't know how often this happens. I do enjoy my stats, but Gundagai to Moonee Valley, don't see that too often, but that's where this horse is coming from, Lady Brook. Gundagai last start, $1.60. 1.5 seconds inside standard time, busted the clock. So you should if you're going from Gundagai to Moonee Valley. If you're not busting the clock there, you shouldn't be here. But first ever start at Wagga, absolutely smacked the clock. Then went to Corowa, busted the clock. And then they actually came to Sandown. Craig Williams wanted to take the ride. Started $3 favourite in a 1,200 metre race. Ran second or third, so it ran really well. I think he can measure up. Gate 13's not ideal. No disrespect to Blake McDougall and I think Tyler Schiller that's been riding the horse, but Damien Oliver goes on. He might be able to get this horse to absolutely explode. I think it's a really nice horse for the future. I would have loved probably not gate 13, but in saying that, got speed to burn, you're out there, you're avoiding trouble, you're not going to get cluttered up. It might be a blessing in disguise. I think she's pretty fast, and I reckon speed will win this race. A horse on speed will win it. Nothing over the top will come over the top of them. I'm happy with Lady Brook.
Yeah, it's a tricky benchmark, 78 fillies and mares for mine, and no wonder it's 460 the field. So I'm just going to simplify it and say, what's been the informed horse in the form out of the informed horses race? It's all Banner number 13, just missed on debut. This horse, just less than a length, 240, and then beat the winner out of this race, which was called Winning Weather. Second up, and Winning Weather then just won on Wednesday. So that form's been franked. That was last preparation. So the form's really matching up there. This horse came back, was a terrific win first up, 230, was backed in, ran 56.89. I just like from gate three, Jamie Carr, 56 kilos. This horse is ready to rock and roll. All Banter, and I'll tell you what, Richard and Shantown Jolly, their strike rate when they bring their horses to Victoria is outstanding, so that's another tick for mine.
And worth noting as well, it's a three-year-old against the older horses here, so don't see it too often, but there is it's the only three-year-old against the older horses. October, November, plus 4% profit on your turnover, so it is in the positive. A little bit of a spoiler alert for next week with Punter Education. We're going to go through December and January with three-year-olds against the older horses, and we'll go through, and I think it might surprise a few with the numbers with that.
I hope they're as big as two-year-old horses in maiden grade in the middle of the year, Julesy, because
it might be the reverse.
Oh, there you go. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, more action from the Valley. Welcome back to Three Wide No Cover. We're going to get stuck into more racing from the Valley. We've got the last three legs of the quaddie to dissect, and we'll get to the quaddie a little bit later. But let's have a look at race seven on the card. Your favourite, One More Try, $4.60. Just ahead of Bartholomew Diaz at $4.80. Winning Partner, $6. Hangman, $6.50. Danone Roman at $8. Andrea Mantegna, Julesy at $9. Barad at $9.50. Stars of Karam at $15. Barry the Baptist at 40-1. Over the page, Savvy Oak, Best of the Rest at $46. Julesy.
No speed on paper here, but Andrea Mantegna has to go forward because it's a grinding horse. It can't win this race if it's a sit sprint and think it's going to be have the best turn of foot. Just doesn't. So I expect it to roll forward, try and clip them along. Barry the Baptist has to probably roll forward, and Silent Command probably the other horse. But other than that, I think a lot of them will be negative neutral. So once they find their spots, do they ease up, or does Andrea Mantegna try and roll early? Here's One More Try. Now, this is two starts ago at the same track, at the same distance. The winner, Irish Flame, will comes out last week and wins a Ballarat Cup. And One More Try was wide the whole way, continues to fight on. It's just a really good, honest racehorse. The start after this, it went to a Matriarch Stakes. And just got beaten by a horse called Affair to Remember, who obviously just got beaten by Irish Flame. So it's a horse that's going really well, and I love gate five for it, that I think it can settle in probably the first six or seven and just have a beautiful run in transit. It gets its chance to win the race. Worth noting, blinkers go back on. This has happened a few times. The last time the blinkers went back on for this horse, did run third in the Summon Stakes, the 1,500 metre race at Sandown, the Group 3 race over 1,500 metres. Got beaten, I think, a neck, something like that. So it goes really well with this profile, and it's just an honest horse. Has 58 kilos, so you can go back and go, well, I'm a bit worried about this mare carrying 58 kilos here. Don't be. Back in, I think, September, October 2018 in provincial races at Bendigo and Geelong, carried 60 and 59 and a half and absolutely towed them up, running inside standard time, really good ranking races. So I've got no concern with the weight of 58 kilos. I just think it maps probably the best. It's in good form. It's an honest horse. It's going to run really well for you, One More Try, and I think it deserves to be favourite, and I think it can win.
You can throw in the third to Mystic Journey too. She's met some really good horses, Irish Flame and A Fair to Remember. So Blinkers Back On's the key. She's drawn well enough. She gets every chance there, Julesy, that is for sure. But I'm going to take her on here. Look to me as though it's a typical 2,040-metre benchmark 90. You've got a lot of chances here. Hangman at the top. Can you trust him? Well, he's close up to Sin to Win. That's really good form and second to Irish Flame. So his form ties in the top. He's carrying a bit of weight and he gets a nice draw. Bartholomew Dias, he franked his Kilmore Cup run and he just got pipped in a Kitan Cup. The winner out of the Kitan Cup didn't fire up in a sports bet Ballarat Cup. Ting. And then you've got winning partner. Well, I just thought he was complacent his last 50. He didn't really run it out. So the 2,040 for me with winning partner is a massive question mark. One more try I've mentioned, and Barade needs to back up that Almania and Kissinger form at Flemington. Horse I'm going to go with here is first up for Peter Moody. Now, if you go back through his form, Stars of Karam, he won a Vase as a three-year-old here, and he looked a real promising horse. Moody first up, nose roll goes on, so he's trying to work this horse out and his slight little gear change with him. Now, he's close up to Inverlochen and also Actow. Now, that Inverlochen and Actow form heading into this race, that's good enough to win. I like him at this trip. First up, Moody, chips in, gate four, going to get the run of the race, and he's at a price. So I'm happy to play him each way, Star of Karam.
Just for clarity and disclosure, keen on one more try, but if you're having a bet in the race, which I will be doing, you have to back Stars of Karam.
Stars.
There is something about it that you think that it might be set up to win this race. So, as you say, it won the Vase. It runs second in a VRC derby, a good high-ranking VRC derby. Runs fourth in the Mornington Cup last prep, as you mentioned, behind Actow. His best would blow these away, and the price you're getting is insane. You're betting in the race, you've got to have something on.
There you go. That's a push.
He didn't yell either.
Just writing that down. Have to have something on. Get in trouble if I don't. All right, we're going to have a look at race eight on the card now. Now, this is a race that SD will dissect even further in martial law, but let's have a look at it now. Coruscate at $4.20. Brizardo there at $5. Seemingly discreet at $6.50. Profit's Thumb at $9.50, Grandview Avenue at the 10, Sartorial Splendor at $11, Meteorite at 12, Human Nature at $13. Over the page, Runson, Royal Witness, both at 15, Condos Express, $27.
I think there'll be plenty of speed in this race, but SD will go through that with Marshall Law. Look, this is a really good horses race. Now, we know it's in the different time of the calendar what it has been because the race got postponed, but horses that have won this race, the Quarterback, Group 1 winner, Red Zell, Group 1, multiple Group 1 winner, Ball of Muscle, Star, Thermal Current, I think he might have won a Group 1, or if not, he went very close to winning a few, and then Soothing last year. Good horses race, now obviously going to be very different in the calendar, we might not get to that level, but it suits horses that are up in the weights, that are class advantages, and I just think it suits a horse called Coruscate. It's got 58 kilos, domestic rating of 104, which sets it up clearly the highest. The other horse with a pretty good rating is 103, Prezzato. I will talk about Prezzato, just very good horse, but I just think probably better not drawing gate one. I'm not going to buy into the narrative of he's definitely just a Flemington horse. I think he's just a good horse. Yes, I probably prefer him at Flemington, but gate one's just no good for him first up. I think he'll get cluttered up. He's a big horse. That's a concern for me. Coruscate, gate 10 I think's a positive because I think there's going to be plenty of speed. I think Damien Oliver will settle back. He'll be neutral from the gate and he just has to find a backside to get him into the race at some stage at that 500, 400 metre mark. If he can be close enough, I think he's going to be a better turn of foot over the top of him. I don't think he's outrageously a 1,000 metre horse. I think he's better at 1,200 metres. But just the way this race sets up, I think he can win. I think he's the best horse in the race and I think he'll be winning. Prophet's Thumb, I've been with her for a little bit. She's going really well. Dry track will help, but gate two is just absolutely dismal for her. If she had drawn probably gate 10, I probably would have been with her. I'll have something on her because I'll be sick if she was to beat me over Coruscate and she's just $10 or $11. So I'll be having something on her, but gate two is not ideal for her.
I find it fascinating that you haven't used the word poison for a while.
That's
in the gate
true,
two. Is it a bit of a poison?
It's a poisonous gate for her, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, very good, Julesy. Sartorial Splendor. Jeez, he's got one of these heads on him. The 955 suited him very well, but watch his first furlong and a half. He just wanted to shake the reins straight out of the jockey's hands and just run faster. Look, the blinkers come off him and they're having a crack at listed level. I'm not quite sure the last 50 metres with him, but he'll run fast. Run Son, geez, remember he broke the record over six furlongs back in 2018. He's got good form. Can he turn the 2.25 lengths around on Coruscate when they last met on set weights and penalties? Maybe not at 1,000 metres at Moonee Valley for him. Prezzato drawn one, big boy. He loves room. He loves room. Then I want to get to Grandview Avenue. Let's have a look. Cue the replay. We've got a couple more coming up in martial law, but we want to replay the guts out of this race because this is the type of race it is. Grandview Avenue was supported in a four-horse field to beat Meteorite. Meteorite was dropping back from 1,100-metre gallop at Flemington at Leiter, I think it was that race. Yeah. Grandview Avenue was only 0.8 of a length off Meteorite, and the money came for him, and he was able to pick up Meteorite on this occasion, and he's got to go hard with the likes of Run Sun and also Sartorial Splendor, and then you've got to look at the horse coming over from Sydney, which is
Royal Witness.
Royal Witness out wide, who's also going to come across and pour some pressure on. So it really sets up for a cave-in late for these on-speed runners, which I'm alluding to. I don't like Prophet's Thumb drawn too. I think she's had a chance this time in, but she's probably going to pop up if she gets a Brooklyn Hustle type of run, which I'll mention later on when I go through the tactics a little bit more. But it's Coruscate. If this race was run at Sandown, Sandown, Caulfield or Flemington, Coruscate, you'd just get on and he'd be very short. It'd be shorter than what he's $4.20 or what he's at as we speak to you at Thursday when this is recorded. He will sit three deep with cover, four deep down the side, and Damien Oliver will roll. I thought he could have probably pressed the button a little bit earlier at Sandown when he was looking cute, when he had Shimano back on his left shoulder and so forth. But the set weights and penalties, he'll just make sure he's right on their hammer at the top of the straight. I think class will prevail. Coruscate to win.
Very good. Let's turn our attention to the last on the card, and this race will see us off, race 9. And your favourite here is Overkill at $3.90, Bandersnatch at $5, Hussay at $7, Montenegro Man at $8, Leiter at $9.50, Music Edition $14, Sondalen at $15, Reward with Return $16, as is Compty. Over the page, Designer Chef Jersey, $20 is the next best.
Plenty of speed here. Al Luca goes forward. Music Edition will go forward. Reward with Return got speed. Overkill probably finds a spot just being behind them. Banner Snatch, don't know where they sit here first up. They probably be a little bit neutral from the gate. There is going to be plenty of speed in this race. I went with the horse at a bit of a price here, Music Edition. I think the dry track is the key for this horse. So I think it, first up, Pakenham Synthetic, it was about $34. Just absolutely busted the clock, went as fast as it could and just kept going, and it won the race. That set it up that I thought this horse was a pretty good racehorse. Three runs ago, went to Randwick, only got beaten, I think, under a length by a Theory, and then last start at Kyneton, 1 second inside standard time, again, was pretty good. Got beaten by a horse, Murillo, who's come back just a better horse being gelded. I think that sets it up for here. The blinkers go on first time, set play. I reckon they'll be mad aggressive from the gates, and I reckon they'll be in the first three or four, fast run race. I want to be with the on-speed horses in this race, and Music Edition's the one for me.
Yep, it's a really open race. Nothing wrong with Leiter's win last start, and he's got good figures at Moonee Valley. He gets a nice claim. Then you've got Sondalon. Well, it's a nice each-way price. Overkill, the four-year-old Stowling in that you mentioned, his figures are really good, and his SP when he started at Moonee Valley have been off the Richter scale. So, and he brings that high stranger form in who just got pipped at Ballarat. Hussay, not quite sure, comes out of a really hot Moe Whipcrack Away, I think the horse was called.
Yep.
SP to 280 and favourite on that occasion. Just got too far back and had too much ground to make up. Montenegro Man, he could blow him out like he did last start. And he ran 109, you know. He's one of the fastest time going into this six furlong race. So, but the horse that I'm going with, sticking with, is a horse that's more of a 13 to 14, 1500 metre horse from Team Hawks here, Brandon Snatch. He can sit back off him. I love the use of the claim. He's been looking for a dry deck. He ran into a horse by the name of Faistos first up, who ran second to Windstorm. That was over seven furlongs, and he SP'd at $2.60 and favourite on that occasion. I like that there's good speed here. He can sit back off him, and I reckon with that claim, Brandon Snatch for me, he's going to be a nice each-way bet.
Very good. All right, we'll take a break now. When we come back, we've got martial law and then plenty more.
Oh, yeah. Welcome back. After the break, you're watching Three Wide No Cover. It's time to talk tactics for the 1,000-metre race here at Moonee Valley. But just before we do this, this listed race, the Carline, let's have a look at some replays, shall we? I want to take you back to the Doveton Stakes at Sandown. A couple of horses coming out of this race in particular. Coruscate, Damien Oliver carrying the big weight. You got Human Nature in the gold cap to your right of screen, and Prophet's Thumb in the checkered square colours, which is last. They're the three key runners coming out of this race. They bowl out of this chute, and it's just a beautiful bend where they whiz around, not try and get into too much trouble like Prophet's Thumb in the checkered cap, back second last there. Green cap wins it, Jamie Carr and Shimano in the white colours. Damien Oliver with Coruscate. Watch him try and keep Jamie Carr in a pocket here. He's got them under control and covered, he would think. And then the gaps open up. Hummer Hummer, third from your right of screen, just shifts off the fence, lets Jamie Carr through. Prophet's Thumb in that quartered checkered cap, tries to go with Shimino here, but couldn't quite use that acceleration. Then Ollie says, oh, good Lord, Jamie Carr's got through. I've got to get going with my big weight on Coruscate. Lefty's run just a little bit late, but then there's not much between them. Human Nature, Prophet's Thumb, Coruscate. That's the 1,000 metres at Sandown leading into this race. Let's now have a look at the sprint at Moonee Valley. This is the track where this race will be run, don't forget, folks. And we see here Sartorial Spender. Look at him go. Look at him flicking his head around. He's a tough ride. So he's going up to the 1,000 metres. Set weights and penalties probably don't suit him, but he knows one way, jump and run. They will go lickety-split here. You've got Human Nature back midfield in the gold cap once again. Condos Express is in those mustard colours, third last. He gets a nice run back in behind them. But Sartorial Splendor, he's a freewheeler. His first two furlongs are the key. How hard will he go out in front will determine how much energy he's got left. Because when you watch Condos Express, three pairs back on the fence, following the winner Sartorial Splendor, he picks up late and makes a really good run. Human Nature to your left of the screen gets out with the orange brow band and gold cap, Willie Pike. Look at Sartorial Splendor. He just hangs on, holds his breath. Condos Express comes late with Human Nature, who's hard fit. They're the lead-ups out of this race. It's a fascinating race. It always is out of the chute at Moonee Valley. Let's have a look at the speed map for this. Set weights and penalties really suit Coruscate, but you know he's drawn out and he's going to go back and try and find a tail. But what we have here is speed to burn. Trainers will grease the reins on these jockeys. They won't be hanging onto them at all. In particular, Sartorial Splendor. Meteorite's got to bounce back from his defeat last start at Moonee Valley under lights. Run, son. Now, not sure about him over 1,000 metres. His 1,200 and 1,100 metre speed's been fantastic, but he only knows one way, the old boy. That's to roll forward, so he will pressure. Then you've got the Joseph Pride horse from Sydney rolling across. Royal Witness will come across and also pressure them as well. So then it sets up for those horses that like to get a nice cruisy run back in behind them. Brizardo, his wins at Flemington, he's been on the speed, the big boy, and he's been able to gallop up into some nice room and clean air. So he box seats. Will he get around Moonee Valley and be able to get off the fence with these touring horses, you would think, with 100 to go and get a clear run on them? He needs a great run. Then you've got Prophet's Thumb. She knows one way, just to get back. Got to be ridden for a little bit of luck. Look for a little bit of a Brooklyn Hustle style of ride there to pick him apart late. She can't go back around them all and beat the likes of Coruscate, who gets into this race really well with the set weights and penalties. Seemingly discreet, know this horse can handle Moonee Valley, will get back, big striding horse, jumped on speed, won at Cranbourne, got a bit of a confidence booster there, but wouldn't match the speed here. This horse needs to get off the fence at some stage. Grand Avenue, well, he was terrific last start, beating Meteorite when they last met, and then Condos Express. They're your two to three pairs back, all just looking to get a nice little bit of cover. Three deep with cover will be perfect out of this sprint. So Royal Witness produces that three deep with a little bit of cover. I'm expecting that horse to come and sit outside of Meteorite and Sartorial Splendor. Run Sun will just come back in behind him, pop up off the fence. Coruscate goes back and follows Human Nature, Condos Express, Grandview Avenue. All these horses will make a run, cart him into the race at the right time. Inside the 100 metres, I'm expecting a little capitulation here, Jared Healy. These horses that'll take one another on, they'll be popping. They'll be running out of energy. So the race will change the last 50. Let's have a look at the pointers for the sprint. Speed to Burn out in front. They'll go Lickety Split. We know that. The last 100 is going to be the key. So it suits two or three pairs back. They need cover, though, and nice rhythm. Three ride with cover is perfect, peeling into that bend at Moonee Valley as you straighten up, and then stay out of trouble inside the 400 metres if you're back in behind them. Give yourself plenty of room and make sure your nose is in clear air inside that last 250 when you straighten up at Moonee Valley, because you still can win it inside the 50. A race can change complexion, and early doors, as I've spoken about, I think Coruscate is in such great form. The set weights and penalties really suit him, and he can charge down the middle of the track and make some ground and win.
Very good, SD. Now, we saw both you tip Coruscate earlier when we looked at this race. So if it settles three wide, as long as it's got some cover, you're not worried, are you?
No, absolutely not. I think the key factor being is we just need to know how this track's going to play, because if the irrigation doesn't come and it really becomes a good three track, then it's going to be really hard to make ground. We know that Moonee Valley, yes, when they go back to the true, we spoke about it in the preview, that it can be really, really fair for backmarkers. But when it really dries out and we get closer to a fast two, it's just hard for horses to make ground when the horses are in front and running maybe sub 11 splits. Very hard. But as SD's mentioned, Coruscate is so well placed in these conditions of the race that, and I love that barrier for him, that he's going to be able to sweep out the outside. Compare that to a Prophet's Thumb, who's going to be bottled up and have to be ridden for luck. If Coruscate drew one or two, probably wouldn't want to be with him. He draws 10, he gets his chance, the speed will be on, he'll be hard to beat.
Very good. All right, we're going to take a break now. When we come back, the Wolf of Orley Street. Welcome back, punters. This is the segment where I find you winners from all around the country with a little bit of help from Julesy and SD. Julesy, why don't you start us off in Adelaide?
I will. Race one, number one, Gulf of Suez. Now, there's a few first starters here, but we haven't been able to lay any of them at the moment. So that's a positive sign that there may not be anything jumping out like Jumbo Jets. Had the win, half a second inside standard time. If it runs here, I know it's also obviously in at Moonee Valley, but this is the option to stay if they want to win another race. I think Gulf of Suez, you can go there. Race four, number seven, Pearl Bandit. This is just a really consistent horse. Slow run races, fast run races. I think this race just sets up so well for it. It's no world beater, but I just think it maps perfectly, and I think Pearl Bandit can knock off another one. I think it's the other horse in the market's first up off a while. So over this sort of trip, I'm happy with race four, number seven, Pearl Bandit.
There you go, jumping out like Jumbo Jets.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
Most pines and I don't like the idea of jumping. But SD, you're playing in Adelaide as well.
I've just realised the blue looks really good on Julian with the backdrop here at Sportsbet. I think you should wear more blue, Julian. Look at that.
Mm. Well done.
Very nice, isn't he? I'm going race five, number five, African Awesome. This horse was able to win at 1,500 metres last start, and a second horse has run third to Star of Uma, who ran super at Sandown. That form's been frank. And you know what? I love it when Leon McDonald and Grylis, is it his partner in crime? Sorry, Andrew, your last name. Steps him from 15 to 1,800 metres. Big jump, but watch this horse by Fiorante. Power to the line last start. He's drawn three, gets the run of the race. Picking up what I'm putting down?
Certainly, RSD. Let's go to Queensland. Doomben, Julesy, you got a couple for us there?
Yeah, race six, number seven, Grand Zoo. Won its last three. Fast run race last start, 3/4 of a second inside standard time. Then just moderately run race before. So again, shows its versatility. I think it can run really well. And then in race nine, number two, Jaden Tom. Now, it's off 49 days. Don't be worried about that. I think it was off 84 days two starts ago when it went to Toowoomba. Won a hot race up there. Absolutely busted the clock by 1.5 seconds inside standard time. Andrew Mallion in the saddle. He's had four goes on it for three winners. I think race nine, number two, Jaden Tom, just looks a really good setup for this horse. I think he can win again.
And the new inclusion from MJ Bale on Michael Wall looks fantastic. He's brought a couple of new polos in.
MJ Bale don't have hats.
The navy blue. No. He goes, where do you go get your hats?
All sorts of places, SD. Yeah. Usually they're imported in from the States.
Trying to get you a sponsor there. Michael, give him a bit of a...
No, the brand of hats. So Mitchell & Ness look after me.
Mitchell & Ness. Big shout out to Mitchell & Ness hat. They're big fans of the show.
Send me more and I'll wear them. Give me the hats, Mitchell & Ness. I need more.
Blending in beautifully. 3-9, gin and bitters. This horse, two runs in, drew nine, flashed to the wire first up. Now, last start, guess who it ran into? Neindorf. And guess who Neindorf is? He's one of ours. Three wide, no cover. He got the cash on that occasion. But draws better, 56 kilos here, and gets a run of the race third up. 3-9, gin and bitters.
Very good. Sydney, you got two there as well, Julesy.
I do. Race two, number two, Almania. Import, time form 108. Came down here to Flemington. Was very soft in the market, but geez, it ran really well. Sort of exceeded the expectations of its time form, and now meets, I think, an easier race. Second up, love the platform, love the sort of 2-3 weeks between runs. I think Almania will be mighty hard to beat. And race five, number seven, Plaquette, again, just perfectly placed by the Godolphin team. Got the cross-counter blue on. Thank you very much, Godolphin Blue. Race five, number seven, Plaquette.
You got more tips than a L'Oreal Marquee this week. Warrnambool's running on Saturday. You got anything there?
The Jericho's on, the boys' horse. Yeah. Ashman and BZ and all those guys, Scoot, I think, are involved. Britannicus, oh, yeah. Hope it wins for them.
Okay, there you go. Thanks. That's Woolamai, by the way. Where are we? Sydney. Oh, I'm going to wait for the last race. Race 9, number 11. Great news. This 4-year-old mare's in great form. Guess who she beat last start? Enchanted Heart. She was on fire, heavily back too. And I just love the way she powered to the line. Now, she takes on the boys, but she gets a 57 kilos and up to 1,500 drawn gate two. She's a winning machine. She's still learning what it's all about. Lots of upside. 9-11 at Rosehill.
There you go. All right, we'll take a look as we look at all of our tips from all over the country. Julesy, an absolute swag there. Nothing in Perth.
No.
Which is rare from you, especially on a Group 1 race day. But we've got two in Adelaide, two in Brisbane, two in Sydney. Can't argue there. SD just going bang, bang, bang. Here's my best three. SD, if you're having one bet, whether it's one of these or one of the ones in Melbourne, where's your one bet for the weekend?
News girl, Kimmy Moore's got this mare flying.
And Julesy, where's yours?
We're going to go to Moonee Valley, last race, Music Edition. Going to run really well for you, I think, at a price.
There you go. All right, we're going to take a break when we come back. We've got the quaddie. All right, welcome back to Three Wide No Cover. It's time for a bit of fun now. And I'll just give a quick shout-out. Our EP, our man Nath, he's having a little bit of paternity leave. He's just given birth to a healthy little girl. So congrats, Nath. Our man Nathan John, our EP. So we just want to say a big congrats.
Wife
and
has.
He sent this through, SD, because he thought of you two, because he said, you know, the boys always say they're a good judge. He sent this through. Who wins this race?
Grey on the dirt, always.
That's a four-way dead eat.
All right, let's have a look at the photo, Jules. Is the grey still win, do you think?
No, it's got no hope, and I'm a terrible judge with these photos.
SD, what do you reckon?
Four-way dead heat between the red and white, two red and
our
white
chances blinkers, outside angle.
Light blue and outside.
Outside angle.
Yeah, great one.
Oh!
One by it me. Actually, when you rewatch it, it was pretty obvious, wasn't it? But we thought we'd just see that. Julesy, you're a better judge than you thought. Let's get stuck into the quaddie now.
Ah, and that segment brought to you by the Blind Factory. Big supporters of the show. Let's have a look at the quaddie, shall we? And we're going to start off in race six, the 1,000-metre race, Kalkani Royale, Sophia's Choice, Hecker Express, Lady Brook, and also All Banter.
Tough race. Yeah, we'll need all of them.
Okay, Hangman, we're going race seven here. We're going Danon Roman, winning partner, Stars of Garam, and one more try. Surely we can take a couple of them out.
I think we're going with all of them,
aren't we? We've only got two in race eight. Chorus Gate and Prophet's Thumb.
Yep.
That's all you need.
All right, Lighter, we're going with. Brandon Snatch, we're going with. Music Edition, now Luca, and also Overkill and Montenegro, man. And all that says, 33.33%. Hello, Cyril Rioli.
On that sort of day, when you're not overly confident in favourites, 33.33 is great. Heap in the last leg. I'm excited about it. Okay. Good luck on the weekend if you're punting. Enjoy the valley. And gamble responsibly. And we'll see you next week for our show.